After a period of relative inactivity, our guest today, Shawn Colvin, is back with not only a new album, All Fall Down, her first of new material since 2006, but also a new memoir, Diamond in the Rough, which takes its title from Shawn's debut album. That album, along with her breakthrough, A Few Small Repairs, features songwriting collaborations with her former romantic partner, John Leventhal, who also shares the writing on this new album. The songs today were recorded in front of an audience at World Cafe Live, and Shawn is interviewed by the cafe's Michaela Majoun, who started out by asking her about how she came to write her memoir.
I was kind of dared to write the book. My manager says, "You have a story to tell." I said, "Well, I don't know if I have a story to tell, and even if I do, how many people are going to want to, you know, it's a little, when you haven't thought of it yourself, it's a little strange to say, oh, I think I'll tell the story of my life and people will want to know." But he said, "Well, just write a couple of chapters, see how you feel." So I thought, I can do that. And then I got a book deal out of those two chapters. So I had to decide whether I was going to go for it or not. And I just did, went for it.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. You're very open in it about your struggles, your struggles with depression and insecurity, very modest about your victories, and very candid about your relationships with men. Mm. And now that it's out there and published, you still feel good about being that open.
Well, it got a little scarier the closer it came, you know, to the book being out. But I had a lot of friends read it, of course, before it came out. A lot of people read it. And I got good feedback all around. No one said, you know, you're going to be sorry. And I'm not a person who really minds talking about stuff. At my low points, it was other people who came forward and talked about their experiences that helped me the most. So I hope that I can offer some solace and help.
And one thing I love about the book is that you show us where all the songs came from and who they're about. So the veil is lifted for a moment, but that's really exciting because we don't often get to know that.
No, I think some songwriters are reticent to do that, and I respect it. I think they feel that it's, you know, I'm not speaking for anyone in particular, but I assume that the feeling is that you're going to kind of wreck the mojo if you talk about the process or the specifics of writing the song. But I'm so amazed still to this day that I can write that I love telling the stories behind the song because I can't believe they happened in the first place.
Shawn Colvin is here. We're talking about, we're going to listen to some of the music from your new album performed at for an audience at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. Let's start with the title song.
Yeah, good.
Tell us about writing that.
It was actually a pretty simple song to write. It's All Fall Down, and John Leventhal wrote the music, and it was kind of our usual way. He had the music written. We came up with the title together, All Fall Down. I don't know what we were going for. We just wanted something simple and Ring Around the Rosie and all that. You know, you just, you know the phrase. And then I wrote the lyrics, and I didn't want them to be too literal or too serious, and it's just one of those songs that I had a good time with.
Oh, here I come, 'cause I don't know better. Well, I'm a thief and a sinner, and I'm a fool and a debtor. You got your pushing numbers, you got your pushing a broom, and what's lucky to some is breaking even to you. Well, I don't understand. muscle and feeling, but I'm flat on my back, staring up at the ceiling. We all fall down. We all fall down. We all fall down. We all fall down. I seen it once, I seen it time and again. You don't know where you're going, don't know where you are, you don't know where you've been. We all fall down. We all fall down. Yeah, we all fall down.
Sean Colvin is our guest today on The World Cafe, and that was a performance of the title song of her new CD, All Fall Down, with a couple of other great players.
Oh, yeah. This is my trio for the promotion of this record. Victor Krause, who I adore, playing bass, and Buddy Miller, who's just a ridiculously talented guitar player and singer, and he produced the record. Now, we've known each other since the mid-70s, and he's never produced a record for me, and it just seemed kind of silly. You know, why haven't I thought of that? So we made a record together.
And you made it in his home studio.
Yes, we did.
In Nashville.
In Nashville, yeah.
Well, you mentioned that you wrote All Fall Down with John Leventhal, and you've certainly worked with him a lot over the years. And it's interesting in the book to see how difficult it was at times, because you had a personal relationship that was breaking up while you were making Steady On, is that right?
By the time we started Steady On, we were done. But it was a recent breakup, you know. So,
But it's amazing that you could work together and make Steady On, which is such...
Well, this was our dream come true. And we, you know, were an off-again, on-again couple, in love and trying to make it work, but you know, I really kind of blame myself to a certain extent. I had a lot of problems that weren't really dealt with or resolved till you know, later. But we could always be creative together, no matter what was going on. And we were thrilled that this happened, and you know, I probably had more trouble than he did, because it was harder for me to get over this breakup than it was for him, although I'm sure he had his difficulties too. So there were times during the making of Steady On that I threw him out of the studio and just said, I got to do some stuff by myself. But for the most part, it was very amicable and thrilling, and we did a good job.
And then there were times later when you decided you couldn't work with them, but happily you've come back to working together.
Yeah, the next record, I just couldn't do it. You know, it taken a lot to make Steady On together, and it just didn't feel right. I just thought, I got to get some distance from this guy to get better. And I was terrified, because this was my guy, you know. This is the guy I wrote with and you know, defined some of the sound that I had. But I made a record with Larry Klein called Fat City, and it worked out great. And that was very encouraging to me, that I could actually take what I'd done, and it could translate with another producer. And a couple of years went by, maybe more than a couple, and it was very casual. John and I just spoke and said maybe we can write something together, and that's all we were after. And then we made a few small repairs. We wrote and recorded a few small repairs.
And that was your huge hit.
That had Sonny Came Home on it, and it was my big record, yeah.
You had already won a Grammy at that point, but you won Song of the Year and Record of the Year. Did that bolster you as nothing else had before that about your writing?
Well, certainly Song of the Year was just beyond comprehension. I mean, it's a songwriting award, you know. It was like a dream. And I was pregnant at the time, so I was just spinning with events and potential events and happiness. And it was really a magical time, yeah.
And it helped you feel, yes, I know how to write.
No.
Oh. You're incorrigible.
Maybe for a minute. Well, a lot of writers will tell you they feel that way. The Bob Dylan quote, what is your favorite song? You know, you could ask that a lot. What is your favorite song or your best song? And his reply was, my next one. So your past songs are important to you, but you just got to prove it to yourself again and again. So you're always up against the blank page.
You were pregnant then, and your daughter, Callie, is now what, a teenager?
She's 13.
Has she read your book?
Not yet. I told her she needs to wait on that, and we can read it together. And, you know, she's certainly at the age where I don't know everything that she does. I try. God knows I try. But she may have snuck it already and read it. I don't know. There's a copy lying around the house.
If that's the worst thing she's doing, Sean, I think you have nothing
to worry
about. No,
you have a good point there.
Sean Colvin is here. There's a song on your new album, I Don't Know You. And, well, let's hear the song first.
Okay.
All right.
Is it me or is it you? Or just the spoils of our little war? You look just like you always do, but I don't know you anymore. Same time, same place, same lips, same taste, and the sound of slamming. Thank you.
Sean Colvin performing I Don't Know You from her new album. It struck me while listening to that that we're drawn to songs to get us through difficult emotion, partly because while the song is happening, we're not alone, and we don't have to be alone with the emotion. It ennobles the feelings that otherwise feel kind of yucky.
That's a good way of putting it.
And they're obtuse. They stink. I mean, there's just such a difficulty sitting with emotion. And I'm wondering, is it the same for you? Has it been the same for you over the tumultuous parts of your life in making the songs and playing them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you put it very well. It is uncomfortable to sit with painful emotions, especially when they have to do with being dumped or abandoned. And you can go a lot of places with that. So in I Don't Know You, it was kind of towards the end of the relationship where, you know, everybody can relate to that. It's like, where did you go, you know? But I like to note that, you know, when you're really, really depressed, when you're just clinically on the floor depressed, there is no creativity. You're not writing about it. You are, you know, doing your best to brush your teeth. So I like to make that distinction just because I just think it's important for people to understand that while artists may be thought of as tortured, you know, the depression is it's just really paralyzing and debilitating at its worst. And I wrote nothing good in the depths of depression.
And did you understand early on that that depression was chemically caused and could be chemically changed?
No, I was quite young when I started experiencing symptoms of depression. We didn't, you know.
People didn't talk that way then.
Nobody knew what it was.
Right.
They just thought you were neurotic, you know, or just that kind of kid. So it wasn't until I was about 19 and I had a really nasty episode of depression that I was taken to a psychiatrist who, he prescribed an antidepressant for me, and it worked.
So then you knew.
Then I knew.
Did you feel a stigma about what was going on with you before you understood?
Yeah. I just felt like an outsider and that there was something wrong with me. And indeed there was. But, you know, I thought it was my character or something that I was at fault for, and I felt weird.
And did you have any friends who were going through it
to some
extent?
No, not that I knew of. You know, I mean, there is normal teenage angst, but no, it's like I kept a secret. And I did have good friends. By the time I got to high school, I made friends with people I still keep in touch with today.
Well, look how strong you are to have coped with all that at a time when people didn't understand it, you didn't understand it. And despite all that, you created so much wonderful music and you created a career.
I did. You know, music was always my salvation, really. So even at my worst times, I usually have performed, if not written. I've usually been able to pull it together to at least get a... I think maybe I have not done some of my best performances, unfortunately. But it's music that's kind of one of the things that's certainly been incredibly healing for me. So it's just been the constant, you know. And so I've always worked on it, and that makes you better.
It seems like one of the themes in your book is the desire for change and change hard won. And you have a song on your new album that you wrote with Patty Griffin called Change is on the Way.
Yeah.
Is there a relation there?
Not so much. This song is, again, about a relationship that didn't work out. And to me, it's the kind of irony, the refrain, you know. It's like, especially at the end when the singer says, you know, the sky will fall, it's probably going to be a while, and peace will come, and unfortunately it's probably going to be a while. I'll get over you, and I guess even the sun will burn it itself out one day. So, and I feel like a change is on the way. Well, there's some irony in there. It's like, well, I'm going to get over you, but it might take a few thousand years or million.
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, that is Change Is On The Way, a song from Sean Colvin's new album, All Fall Down. And our thanks to Sean and to Michaela Majun here on the World Cafe.